Hello, everyone, to our special Halloween edition of Within the Mist podcast. Today, we have a very special guest for the holiday, Brian Sims. To those who have traveled to Salem, Massachusetts, he is better known as Bora Brewington Snaggletooth the 13th, unofficial ambassador to the Salem, Massachusetts. According to their bio, Brian is originally from South Carolina and attended University of Cincinnati College Conservatory. How am I pronouncing?
Conservatory.
Conservatory. Thank you. College Conservatory of Music for Dramatic Performance and the Burt Reynolds Institute for Theater Training in Jupiter, Florida.
Wow.
Brian has been in numerous national and international commercials as well as a few movies. Brian moved to Salem with his husband in May of 2016, where he currently practices in the healthcare profession. So now let's take a walk within the mist as we discuss Salem with Brian Sims. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you. This is being recorded in August for our Halloween episode because you have a very busy schedule during the Halloween season. So we appreciate your busy schedule and we're glad to have some time with you.
You're welcome. And it is, like you said, August. And I took the dog for a walk this morning and the wind is blowing and you can smell fall.
Excited.
It's I think it's like 70, 68 degrees out and people out walking. And it's always spooky here in Salem, but it's really getting spooky now. It starts in August.
Yeah. Well, we are in Florida, so we have pretty much hurricane season and summer.
Yeah.
Yes. I lived in Florida, as you mentioned earlier. I do not miss the hurricane season, but I do miss Mickey Mouse.
Well, great. We appreciate, having a person right there locally to talk to about pretty much a tragic event, as we want to talk about Salem and the Salem witch trials.
All right.
In January of 1692, Reverend Samuel Parris's daughter, Elizabeth, aged 9, and his niece, Abigail Williams, aged 11, started having fits. Soon, another girl, Ann Putnam Jr., aged 11, experienced similar episodes. On February 29th, under pressure, the girls blamed Kituba, the Parris's Caribbean slave, Sarah Good, a homeless beggar, and Sarah Osborne, an elderly impoverished woman. This began the Salem witch trials.
No, you got that right. So Salem was established in 1626, and the witch trials did last from 1692 to 1693, and there were 200 people that were accused for practicing witchcraft. They called it the devil's magic. 20 were executed. 19 were hanged. One was pressed to death, and that one was Giles Corey. He was a mean guy. He even accused his wife of being a witch. But his last word, do you know what his last words were? Everybody knows this. And if you get this wrong, I'm going to give you a gift anyway.
I got it.
What is it?
More weight.
Exactly. So they were placing stones on his chest. And the final one just crushed his chest in. So
a lot of people get this wrong, but not many were burned at the stake. The majority were all hung.
Well, in Salem, you're right. In Salem, none were burned. None were drowned either.
Okay. And most of them were, pled that their innocence. Tituba was the first one who actually confessed that she had made a deal with the devil and agreed to serve him.
Yes, she was the first to admit that. You're right. And she was an enslaved woman that was, they thought that she was from Central America. And she was captured as a child from Barbados and brought to Massachusetts in 1680 by Reverend Parris. And she eventually did confess to using witchcraft. And she said, she told a tale detailing how the devil had come to her and asked her to do his bidding. And according to her testimony, she had seen four women, as you said, well, a man, including Sarah Osborne and Sarah Good, asking her to hunt the children. She also talked about a dog and a great black cat and a red cat. I mean a red rat and a black rat and a yellow bird and other animals like that. She had this colorful story that she had, I don't know if she made it up or or if she was hallucinating. We are not quite sure. So that's what fueled the fire, making the witch hunt spiral out of control.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, it was eventually brought to an end, and most of the people were acquitted of the charges against them. And what happened to the ones that had already been convicted and condemned to death?
Well, they were all hanged except for Giles Corey.
Right.
It was just a few years ago they found the exact spot where they were hanged, and it's actually a hill behind Walgreens. But anyway, so they hanged all of the witches except for Giles Corey, and they would leave their bodies in the trees or just cut them down and just leave them somewhere. They have found some bones in that particular area, and they found some bones several years ago, and they were not allowed to be buried in holy land or holy ground like in the cemetery because they were witches. So a couple of the families did come and try to retrieve the bodies, and Rebecca Nurse's family cut her body cut her body down from the rope and took her back to her homestead and buried her there. And the bones that they found at where they hung them, they buried them in Rebecca Nurse's homestead as well. So, yeah.
So you're talking about when they found Gallows Hill? You're saying that's behind Walgreens?
Yes.
So they found bones there?
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow.
And this was recently.
This was a few years ago, and I can't remember, but it's very surreal out there. It's kind of quiet and serene out there at Gallows Hill, even though it's in a neighborhood right behind Walgreens.
Well, what kind of evidence were they using to convict these people of witchcraft?
Spectral evidence. They use spectral evidence. So if someone... They would be in court, and the girls would start shouting or screaming or seeing yellow bird. One claimed to see a yellow bird, marks on their skin, pokes and needle poking and things like that. And that was spectral evidence. And they would say, she just, caused me pain. And they would scream and fall on the floor. So that's what they used, part of what they used. But people think that, that they're not sure exactly what caused it. Rumors has it that epilepsy or ergot poisoning, which is wheat poisoning, and or either Lyme's disease or the cold weather, and family rivalries and fraud about land. Somebody wanted, if you're my neighbor and I wanted your land, I could convict you or accuse you of being a witch, and you would end up going to court and I would take your land, or the judge would take your land, or a sheriff would take your land. So there's lots of reasons of how this all came about and why people were accusing people of being witches.
Well, Parrish, who pretty much started all this, wasn't very well liked at even before the Salem witch trial. So some theories suggest that this was his way of maintaining control when he was losing it, due to his unpopularity.
What happens today, right?
Absolutely.
Sad. So, but he ended with Governor William Phipps, because his wife was blamed for being a witch. And he said, well, that changed everything. So that's how it stopped.
And that happens today, too.
It does happen today, too.
And the Salem witch trial is where the term witch hunt even got its start, correct?
I cannot say for sure.
I know a lot of people do connect it to that. The going after people with no evidence, no proof, and basically dragging their name through the mud kind of connects the saying with the events of the Salem witch trials.
It does. Yeah. There's a lot of history. I don't consider myself a historian, so I don't want to misquote anything. And if I do, if there's any historians out there that are listening, please forgive me. But I don't want to misquote anything, but I do the best that I can. Like I said, I'm not a historian, but when you're here, just take any of the tour guides and they can fill in the blanks that I am sure that I've missed. I do the street performing and weddings and stuff like that. So that I can answer without any issues.
Well, we always put a disclaimer at the beginning that we're more storytellers than anything else. So, yes, our audience is well aware that we do our best. And we don't promise to be science teachers or historic instructors. So,
good.
You're in good company.
We can make up a lot of fun things. But no, but we can't do that with Salem because that live here. We're passionate about the history or the Halloween aspect of it. So, but if we get something off, we will be corrected immediately, which I respect because it is a learning process for everybody. And people are still learning about the witch trials and
facts.
Yeah. So,
well, if you find out any disclaimers, just let us know and we'll add it to our next episode.
I will. Which will be in January? No, October, November?
Yes, it'll be in November.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
How many of the families from the time of the Salem witch trial would you say are still in Salem? Is there many or did most of the families are now gone and just the memories?
There are some ancestors that still live here.
Wow.
I couldn't tell you how many.
Right.
Yeah, and there's some people that move here, or at least they claim they are an ancestor of, and they say, hey, I just moved here. I'm related to so-and-so or so-and-so. And I moved here because I want to be home.
So, I can imagine.
I don't want to sound morbid or disrespectful, but it would be kind of cool to be, you know, to have had someone in your family that was related in some fashion or form of the Salem witch trials. Probably not related to any of the judges because
I don't think that would still go over well today.
No.
Well, as you mentioned, Governor Phipps finally dissolved the court, and actually that was done on October 29th.
Exactly. And I do think that some probably left Salem to start their lives over again. I mean, because Salem was small. I mean, now Salem is huge. Salem is small. But there's
a lot more than it used to be.
There's a lot more people living here than back then. And so, you know, I can walk like this morning. I walked for about 30 minutes and I saw 8 people that I knew. And so back then there were less people. So everybody knew everybody. So people saw more people saw more people that they knew than what happens today. So yeah, it was probably uncomfortable seeing them, you know, you accused me or my relative of being.
Do you have a favorite story about one of the occurrences during the Salem witch trials that you pass on?
So one of my favorite stories, I think, is probably Bridget Bishop. She was an independent lady. She was strong. She married into money. She lost her husband. She was a strong-willed lady. She owned an apple orchard. And so I have respect for her for being who she was and standing up for who she was. But she was the first one to be hanged. So I like the fact that she was a strong-minded female. And but I can imagine, you know, what she went through knowing that she was going to be, you know, hanged, the first one to be hanged. Rebecca Nurse, I love her story. She was an elderly person who early signs of dementia, and she was a real strong Christian lady that attended church, and She was hard of hearing, and people signed a petition when she was accused of being a witch. They signed a petition saying that she wasn't a witch and she shouldn't be hanged. And they asked her to state the Lord's Prayer, and she did. And then they asked her to do it again, and then she couldn't hear them, and she kind of stumbled through. And so they just said, "You're a witch." So, I mean, I can't imagine what these people went through when they were being tried.
Yeah, I remember reading about one, Dorothy, Sarah Good's 4-year-old daughter, yeah, that because she was so shy and timid that, you know, she had trouble answering their questions, obviously. And so she got convicted just because of that.
Right. Yeah. She had a little flea bite on her hand.
It's sad. It's really sad.
Yeah.
And two dogs were hanged also.
I was not aware of that. What's this?
Yeah, that was, I don't know when it was, and it's not really talked a lot
of
who they were or how or what or when. It's just stated in history that two dogs were also hanged.
Wow,
that's a bit of trivia I was not even aware of.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah, we're big dog lovers here, so obviously we would.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be shocking as well. You want to tell us some of your favorite tourist locations of Salem?
Well, everybody asks what is my favorite tourist go to. And I answer by saying everything, and I'm not being politically correct. I could do every single thing in Salem that Salem has to offer. One thing that I do suggest, though, is eating at Red's Sandwich Shop in the morning and jumping on the trolley and taking the trolley, which is an hour and a half. It's a comprehensive tour where you can get on and get off at different locations, and it gives you the talks about the maritime history, the Salem witch trials, and the present history of Salem. And that's really, really cool.
Sure.
I also love the witch house, which was Judge Jonathan Corrin's house. And they say that some of the interrogations took place in that house. And I can only imagine what those walls could say if they spoke, you know? And let's see, what else? I love the witch dungeon. I love everything here. And probably one of my favorites is the Salem Witch Museum. And it's not like Disney, but they have these from when they originally opened, these mannequins. And people say it's cheesy. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. They have different scenes set up throughout the witch trials and you just it's like a diorama almost of life-size mannequins, and it's just amazing. So that's what you got to do when you come. You got to do everything when you come.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, actually I would love to see that. As I said, we are going to be in Salem during the Halloween weekend, so speaking of which, how is Halloween in Salem?
Insane. Over 500,000 people come to Salem for October. But let me just a side note, make your reservations now. If you want to take a walking tour or go into any of the attractions, go online like yesterday. Have you done that yet?
Yes. Yeah, I told Goldie to make a list because I said, because what happened was last year we wanted to do Salem for our anniversary, but because of COVID and everything kept getting canceled, I kept waiting and waiting, and I waited too long.
Yes,
so we didn't get to do it last year. So this year, as soon as the reservations were available, we made our reservations, and then Goldie Ann started planning out the different sites.
So what do you guys have planned?
I have three
besides seeing Bora.
Oh, you were hunting you down. Yes.
I have three pages.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
I have like steps from our hotel on where to go, how long I think it might take to where I get to the next one.
I have
some tours, done. I have some tickets to like the Gallow Hills theater, a couple haunted houses, the witch house, the Salem Village. We've got quite a bit of.
For dinner, plan 2 hours. So if you want to eat at 5, go get in line around 3:30 or 4. with breakfast, get up at 6, 7 in the morning and go eat at Red's, and then or wherever, just plan an hour and a half ahead to be in line.
Oh dear.
Now, since I said that, I'm probably going to be totally wrong. The doors are probably going to be wide open and there's no lines,
well,
but
that's
not going to be the case. It is a party. It is a party almost all night long on the streets, in the stores. Yes, people are dressed to the nines. And it's just fun just sitting there and watching people and seeing their interactions. October 31st, which you're going to be here, I enjoy watching people, but I don't have time because I'm doing weddings at Ropes Mansion in their gardens. So, but last year, I did take one job, one wedding that was in at Ledger, which is a restaurant here in Salem. They have a little hall where they rent out for events. So I had to walk about 5 blocks from Ropes Mansion, 5 blocks to Ledger. It took me an hour and 15 minutes. Not because of the crowd, because it was slowly moving, just because I was stopped. And when I get stopped, it's 10, 15 minutes of pictures and pictures and pictures, and it's crowded. And I finally have to say, I have to go. And I had to just bust through the crowd and just get there. But when I came out after the ceremony, it was about 7 o'clock. I was just stopped in dead traffic. There's TV stations here. There are newspapers here, as well as all the people. So when I got home about 9 o'clock on October 31st, I was dead tired. And usually, so back to your question, it's crazy. Elbow to elbow with people, and if you like that type of atmosphere, then you're in good hands.
Okay, so this is Salem's Mardi Gras.
Yes, it is. But no one shows any body parts.
Thank goodness.
Unless they're bloody and have been cut off the body, then they will show you their body part, their leg or arm or something.
Now, I know it's already, by the time this episode airs, it's already happened, but I'm going to advertise it on our page beforehand. You also sponsor the Halloween Boo Bash. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, that is actually my very first one. It's called Bora's Halloween Boo Bash. And thank you for putting this on your page. And it's actually a party that there are several people that have parties here. There's like a vampire ball and different ones. And I thought, well, if they can do it, why not? And I've had people ask me, or followers, when are you going to have your party? And I said, well, okay, we're going to do it this year. So I am flying in some people that you may know from Orlando, some entertainers from Orlando. And I've got to keep that on the DL. They're bringing in a handler to take care of their needs. Right. I have some local entertainment also, and we have over, at this point, 40 single door or 40 different businesses that have donated gifts to be given away. So we're going to be giving away door prizes all night long, and we've got the tickets include food. There's 3 cash bars, and as I said, the entertainment. There's also a costume contest where there will be there's 4 different categories, and every winner receives cash and this fabulous, awesome prize. So it's going to be a night of fun and entertainment. I also have DJ Jimmy Tilt, which is one of the best DJs on the East Coast, that's going to be mixing music and playing music all night long as well. And he's been working on music for over a year now for this event. And tickets can be found at Salem's Black hatsociety.org, and there's a tab at the top, and that's Salem's SALEM'S Black, as in the color, hat that you wear on your head, society.org. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
But I shouldn't be surprised, because Bora is very active.
Yes.
On Instagram, social media. I mean, Salem's Black Hat Society, which was founded in October of 2016, you started out street performing, and you were bringing positive energy to Salem, and now you've expanded. According to what I know, you do marriage ceremonies, vow renewals, ribbon cuttings and grand openings, charity events. You're a party host. You do baby gender reveals, and you do promotional videos and appearances. So
yeah.
That's amazing. Bora's very busy.
It is a lot. It is a lot. And every year I think to myself, what am I going to shave off to have time with my family and with my husband? But it's, you know, it's just hard because people just keep coming and asking me to do things. And it's difficult to say no. We also have a store. Some of the things are handmade on Etsy. Boraporium.etsy.com.
Okay. So, I'll definitely place that a link as well.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And I just recently written a book, a Christmas book.
Wait. You wrote a book?
Well, I've written two books. This one here, which is Bora's book of pitiful poems and pictures. And actually the artist, the illustrator is, well, I think he just moved out of Florida and you may know him from Spooky Empire. His name is Zombie Dog 43, Steve.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He had a booth there and at Spooky, he would have a booth every year, but he did the illustrations here. There's one.
Wow.
Yeah. And would you like, could I read a poem?
I would love to. Please.
I appreciate it. So this one is called Cemetery. And being from Florida, I don't know if you can relate to this, but I'm from the South. So Southerners can relate to this if they live near the woods or have played in the woods.
Well, I'm originally from Ohio and Goldie Ann is originally from Louisiana. So.
Oh, really? Oh, Ohio. What part?
Massillon, Ohio. So just outside of Canton. Where the Football Hall of Fame is, Akron.
Okay, okay. Are you a fan of, or did you ever eat at Skyline Chili?
Please, I went to college in Cincinnati, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
I went to Oxford University.
So this one is called Cemetery. Mossy, gray, hanging thick and long, strung from limb to limb and full of stench. When I pull you apart, it wasn't long till those red bugs caused an itch down there on my ding dong. Now she can't relate to that, but you may be able to.
Yes, that's great.
This one's called Not the Same. Trick or trunk's such a joke. What a snore. There's nothing like door to door. Knock, knock, ding dong. There's nothing more than running house to house, seeing what's in store. Thank you, Karen, you short-haired dorks. That trick or trunk is such a bore. Trick or trunk should be no more. Who thought of that is not a sport. Who thought of that? We say no more. If you can't run the hood, you just never, never understood. The thrill, the feel, the nightly chill, candy, costumes, friends and spooks, decorations on the roof, decorations on the door, decorations in the yards, but certainly not in or on the cars.
Nice. Totally agree.
My heart was broken when they came up with trick or trunk. Like, what is that? I totally understand where they're coming from. There's nothing like going door to door, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And
I think they started it in church parking lots.
Yeah. Now, yeah. We, because of COVID, yeah, they wouldn't let people go door to door, but we were in a complex and they did do that. Luckily, at the time, Goldie Ann had a red Jeep. And so she decorated it like one of those from Jurassic Park. And I got one of those inflatable dinosaur costumes. So we did the best we could to keep the holiday spirit. But yeah, it's not the same as when you can do the entire house.
Oh, that is awesome.
All right. So those are great. And they're all written by you and available. How would we get a copy of the book?
Well, they will be available after October 14th on my website at salemsblackhatsociety.org. They are available currently at on Amazon and Walmart. The easiest thing is go online and order them through Amazon and Walmart. But the reason they're not on my website right now is because I don't have enough tabs. The tab that has replaced the book is the tickets to the Boris Halloween Boo Bash. Yes. So speaking of decorating, I finally got my hands on Home Depot's 12-foot witch. I was searching and searching and searching, and they kept saying it was out of stock. And you know, and I'm like, I have got to have, you've got to have that in Salem, and I've got to have that because of Bora. So finally a follower messaged me and that lives in Danvers, which is next town, the next town next to Salem, and they said, oh my God, they got him in. So I had to wait 24 hours and I went in and got the last one.
Nice.
So I'm sure they're getting more in.
Yeah, but they're going to go right out too.
Yeah, they are. They're going to fly right out. Hey, and I got it on tax free. It was less than in Massachusetts. So at some point today, I'm going to put that thing together. The box was damaged a little, so I'm hoping that the product itself was not damaged. But if it is, you know, the Home Depot is going to refund this or exchange
it. Just hold on to it till they can switch it with a different one.
Exactly.
That's great. So for Bora and yourself, what is your schedule then during Halloween? Are you like from sunrise to midnight busy?
Yes, actually, yes. So I get up about 6 o'clock. I have coffee, I have breakfast, and I start putting my makeup on, and I get out on the street at around 9:30, and we can start street performing at 10:30. It changes every year. So let's say 10 o'clock, 10:30. And I do that till about 4 or 5. And then I come home because I'm exhausted. I wash the costumes, prepare the costume for the next day. I read over weddings. We sort through the tips that we collect, and I answer social media. And then I am, of course, have to wash off the makeup, take a shower, and I'm in bed by 10 or 11 o'clock to do it again the next morning. And I take about 3 weeks off in October from work. And everybody at the hospital, all my coworkers, they know what I do. They are so supportive, and I'm very thankful and lucky in that aspect. So when I'm not street performing, there's some days that I just strictly street perform, and then there are some days that I do weddings. So I'll be doing what I just named, you know, from morning till night, but I'll leave the street performing around 3 or 4. I'll leave Essex Street where I street perform and head over to the location where I'm going to do ceremonies. And then
after where are some of the locations that people like to have the ceremonies done at?
In October,
yes,
I can only do them. Well, I choose to only do them behind Ropes Mansion, which is 318 Essex Street, ESSEX Street. That is the location of Disney's Hocus Pocus. It's Allison's house.
Oh, okay.
And Max's girlfriend, and where she walks down the stairwell, and there's the big fountain of candy.
Yeah.
That house.
Which house?
Yes. There is a garden in the back. It's a beautiful, beautiful garden. And it's huge, and we have it right there in the center. And so I choose that location because it's quieter, although there are people there. It's a public space, so we can't close it down and have it reserved just for the wedding. So people come and watch, and they cheer the couple on, and they are encouraging, they clap, and that's a lot of fun. Outside of October, I do it in front of the witch house or by the willows on the water. And there's some other historical homes here in Salem that I also have the ceremonies at. So there's a lot of opportunity for locations outside of the month of October.
Okay. Well, speaking of Bora, how did you come up with Bora Snaggletooth?
So there was a German witch dance that I saw for the first time in 2016. It's a very long name. I can't even spell it, of course, pronounce it. And I saw that, and there were these witches, and they were all dressed up, and I thought, oh, that's really cool. So we moved here in 2016. I didn't know anybody here, so on Facebook, I posted that witch dance, and I said, does anybody want to do this? Because I had heard that there's a parade in October. I did not know about haunted happenings, the party, the festival, or whatever you want to call it.
Wow.
There was a parade. And so I got 18 people together, 18 strangers together. And I said, okay, we've got to create a witch. You've got to come up with how they smell, where they live, what they look like, how they eat, what they eat. Do they have dirt under their nails? What kind of clothes they wear? I suggested that each of us create these characters and come up with names that represent these characters. So I just chose what memories I had, what fun memories I had as a kid. To me, a witch is green, has a big nose, a big chin, and cackles. Kind of like one of my favorite witches is from Looney Tunes, Witch Hazel.
Okay.
Well, and I love her. She's so endearing, and she's a lot of fun. So I pulled these different qualities from different characters, and I created Bora. And the name actually came from a convenience store in Beverly, the next town over. Greg and I, my husband, we were driving, and I saw this convenience store, and it said Bora's Convenience Store. And I said, I like that name. So I took that name, and it's spelled with all caps with an exclamation point on the end. So that's how Bora spells their name. So I came up with how this witch lives, how Bora lives, and how Bora smells, and where Bora gets their clothes from. And I went to a local makeup artist who runs the magic parlor in Salem. His name's Rob, and he does makeup for different movies, and as well as runs the magic parlor. And I said, Rob, this is the witch. This is the characteristics. And this is how I want the witch to look. And between us two and his artistic ability, he put together Bora's face. And this was on October 31st of 2016. And I walked home about 7 blocks from the magic parlor. And this is when...
In full makeup?
In full makeup, in street clothes. not in costume. So, and I'm like, this is cool, because it was when school was letting out. We lived near a high school, and there's a lot of people walk in Salem, so there's a lot of foot traffic. So no one looked twice or pulled away or hissed at me or anything. It was like, okay, this is normal. And I'm like, okay, this is really cool. Salem's cool. So when I got home, I put on the costume, and we have to be at the parade around 5:30. And for the 6:30 parade that starts at 6:30. And I put on the costume. As soon as I put on the costume, the voice came, the body came, the walk came. It just all came together immediately, just like that. And so we did the parade, which was really cool, because there's a band. The parade lasts about an hour and a half, and there's thousands of people that watch. And there's a bandstand where the mayor stands and the city councilors. And you're allowed to do a performance for like 30 seconds, because they got to keep the parade moving. Our dance lasted about 4 or 5 minutes. And I didn't know that you were allotted 30 seconds, give or take. So when we got to the mayor's, to the bandstand, we started the music, we started the dance. And after about a minute in, one of the counselors kind of motioned, you know, to keep going. We got to get the parade, keep the parade going. And so the mayor held her hand up. She said, no, let's watch this, finish up what you're doing. So we finished, and it was an amazing applaud, and it was terrific. And that's at the end of the parade. So we just went home after that and just washed up, and we were exhausted. So that's how Bora came about. I gave you a little more information than you needed, but that's
no, I love that. I love backstories.
So someone said to me, you know, you can stand on Essex Street, which is the pedestrian walkway where a lot of the businesses are, and you can stand there and people will take pictures and they'll give you a couple of dollars. And I said, well, I'm going to do that. So I did that. So that was, again, back in 2016, and that's where it kind of took off. And I got a lot of compliments from the town council members, people that come to Salem every year, residents in Salem. They were saying, oh my God, you're so different. You bring this positive energy. You're funny. People stand and watch literally for like an hour or two, sit across and just watch me rag on people and make jokes and tell jokes and sing birthday songs or anniversaries or do little dances. And I have repeat people that come by that take pictures every year of their family. So I see the kids growing up, and mm-hmm. I see the their mothers, the elderly, they you know, how they've, you know, I just see people every year, and it's amazing. And they take Easter pictures, or it's a tradition, the Christmas photos or Halloween pictures, and we all stand in the same positions as the previous year. So it's a lot of fun just watching people grow up. And you
I
know,
like that. And you've continued on with that positivity with your charity events. I know I saw last year you were collecting coats for kids.
Yes, and we're going to actually do that again this year. I say we. There's another lady that dresses in pink. She calls herself the Good Witch of Salem, and she does a lot of parties for kids. So she has, that's her little business on the side, and she does a great job. So together, we get together to do joint things. So last year, I said, hey, let's do this coat drive. And she said, well, I'm going to do this coat drive too. So we said, hey, we'll do it together. So we go to, we put boxes up in different locations like the firehouse, Hampton Inn. And we collected over 300 jackets last year for one of the businesses or charities that provides housing for people that are in need.
Great.
Yeah. Because it gets cold here in New England.
Something we in Florida may not be used to.
Exactly.
Right. For me, if someone was coming to Salem, what would you ask that they take away from their trip there?
Kindness, understanding.
Okay.
Take away, be open-minded because of the Salem witch trials, how people were accused. And I would ask them to, that's what I would hope that they would take away. Because this Salem is a very open-minded place and open-minded town.
Oh, good. And I'm glad.
We accept people of all walks of life. And so that's actually another poem.
Ooh.
If I could read.
And I'm not going to stop you. I'm fine with you starting from the beginning and go to the end.
And I will, you'll understand what I mean when I talk about acceptance and peace at the end of this poem. This poem is called Salem. There's a small, quaint town, stone streets abound. It borders a body of water with ghosts on every corner. At night, the sky is deep with cemeteries on every street where witches were hanged. A stubborn crest, here pagans, Wiccans, and souls unrest. Filled with spooks and fun just for you. For Salem, nothing's left behind. You'll see and experience things you've never thought. Be sure to come in costume. Salem means shalom, which is harmony and peace. So come along and join us in our afternoon of feast.
I like that. That is great.
Thank you. So that's what Salem means, shalom.
I think I'm going to get your book today. I like that.
I appreciate that. Salem is a great town to live in. It's awesome. If I had moved here after 2016, if we had moved here, we would not be able to afford it at all. It's just a hip town. It's just done a 180 and really cool restaurants, really cool bars. A perfect place to get married. And
person to get married too.
Yeah. I love doing weddings. And divorce parties. Those are fun too.
I
do.
I had one of those when I went on a cruise.
Oh, really? On a cruise?
Yes.
Did you push them overboard?
No, I was already divorced. It's like, oh. I left the courthouse and went straight to the cruise port. It was great.
That's awesome. A lot of people move here from New York and get jobs in Boston. A lot of people have moved from Boston to Salem. And because there's a train that goes straight within walking distance, you can jump on the train and go straight up or straight to New York and straight to Boston. And it's about a 25-minute train ride to Boston. So that's why part of the attraction is for people to move to Salem is the convenience and the location of getting to other big cities.
Brian and Bora, if people want to get more information about you or see some of your social media, what would be some of the locations we could post for you?
Oh, I appreciate you asking. Salem's Black Hat Society.org and Salem's Black Hat Society is on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. And we also have a store on Etsy, boraporium.etsy.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any last minute things you want to add that we may not have covered?
Well, a lot of people ask, where did the name Salem's Black Hat Society come from? So,
that's a good one.
Thank you. So when I decided to street perform, I, at that moment, decided to donate a portion of the proceeds that I make in October to different charities in Salem. And so I thought, well, I got to come up with a name. And I thought of the Red Hat Society. They do charities. And I'm like, wait a minute, how about Salem's Black Hat Society? So that's where that came from.
That's cool.
Thank you. So Salem's Black Hat Society donates to different children's charities in Salem and to an autistic foundation in Salem as well. And that's one of the fun things about, one of the many fun things about, or fulfilling things about street performing is being able to give extra time and attention and love to those that have autism. And when I can give those kids or adults that extra attention, their family, it just makes them light up and changes their lives just for that one moment. I love giving out witch hats or toys or trinkets to them. And there's a lot of people that save up their money for like a whole year that come to Salem for a week or even for a weekend, I've been told by some of the visitors here. You know, they'll say, I worked all my life or all year long so I can come here for this weekend or this week. And after a while, you get to pick up on people where they may be coming from or what their needs might be. And so if I pick up on that, you know, they may not be as fortunate as others. And I just love giving their kids, you know, gifts and it just makes that little bit of kindness just goes so far, you know?
A little bit of witch magic.
Yeah, a little witch magic. Yeah. And it's so weird, I tell you, so weird. And I don't want to jinx myself. But they also, if I see a couple walking by, I'll say, you know, I'll ask them, you know, Boral Alaska, hey, how long have you been married? Or you need to put a ring on her finger or his finger. And, or they'll come up to me and I'll ask them how long they've been dating. And they'll say 6 years and I'll make jokes about it. And then I'll say, we're going to practice. And I'll tell the guy to get on your knees or the girl to get on her knees. And I'll pull out a fake ring and I'll make them repeat or propose to them right then and there. It's all fake and fun. I don't know what it is. More than half of those come back to me and they say, oh my God, it worked. He proposed, she proposed to me. I don't know what it is. Like, I would say more than it happened to a cop here in Salem. All the cops know Bora, which is amazing. Which is good, which is convenient. But one of the cops came up to me and he says, hey, I proposed to my wife. And I actually did their wedding.
Well, great.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then one time when I made this guy propose to this girl, this fake proposal, I was done. You know, he was on his knees and he stayed on his knees. And I'm like, okay, I got a whole line of people. Get out. We're done. He actually proceeded to pull out a ring and actually ask for her hand in marriage. I about peed my pants. And all the people were like, they were in tears. And he asked for her hand in marriage. And that was so much fun. That was so much fun and amazing. Yeah. And actually, I have that somewhere on social media on video.
That's a great memory.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of great memory. Every day, there's a great memory when I'm out there doing this.
Awesome. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have enough time for a little late night trick-or-treating, and it's time to come out from within the mist. I want to thank Brian Sims, Bora, for their precious time covering a very sensitive subject, yet also showing a more positive side of Salem. We hope you enjoyed the show and will join us on our next week's Within the Mist.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it, and I cannot wait to scare the pants off of you on October 31st.